Our first reading is from the book of Psalms, verse 107, verses 1 through 16. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Our second reading is from the book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here ends our second lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel, it's all in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. Lord, we give you thanks for your presence. We give you thanks for your guidance, that you love us. You're always there with us. You're always there for us. We can't ask for more. So may you be honored today with these words and with our praise as we come before you. Amen. All right. So Thanksgiving coming up, and that's what we're sort of theming today. You know, we're starting out with hymns of praise and thanksgiving. The readings, again, about giving thanks to the one who is worthy. Giving thanks to God, the only one who is worthy. And the Psalms, you know, there's a psalm for every occasion. If you're feeling great, there's a psalm for that. If you're just down in the dumps, there's a psalm for that. There's always psalms for anything. And today, this one starts out with those incredible words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Yeah, forever. You know, God has existed before time began. And there is no end to him. For my temporal mind, it just makes it do somersaults, sort of a blah, 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 type thing, trying to remember or think about before time and no time. I mean, in heaven where there'll be no time, everything just is. Okay, a physics brain is does not compute. But we know that God is there and that he is good and it's all going to work out. Today, there's sort of a theme that runs through the Psalms here. There's four main parts here. It talks about four different groups of people. Some who wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Wandering in the wastelands. Maybe at times you've felt that, or you know people who are. They're just sort of wandering out there. They're trying to find purpose. They're trying to find meaning in life. So they're turning to different things, turning to different philosophies, different ideologies, maybe different religions. I know a former student that she grew up in Glenwood Lutheran, you know, did all the right things and everything like that, but just didn't feel connected to God. So then she tried Hinduism. She tried Buddhism. She tried a number of different things. And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of her. She'd have to tell the testimony. It's the great. She was in Hawaii at the time, and all of a sudden, this became real. There was a spiritual awakening, and she got connected with the Holy Spirit and with God, and now is a missionary. It's just a wonderful story. So she'd been wandering, trying all these different things, and we see that today, too. There's people that are adhering to all kinds of, shall we say, pseudo-truths or fake truths when there is only one truth, and that's right here. Amen? That's it. Okay? So that's what we believe. Is if you got any questions, here's the answers right here. And we are going to stand firm on God's word. No two ways about it. No yielding, no bending to societal pressures, cultural pressures, any of that stuff. They can make up their own truth if they want. We're going to stand firm on this right here. Because we are not wandering in the desert like these people here. We're not finding a place where we could settle. We have a place. We have a home. We have an eternal home guaranteed with God. For those who receive and believe, he has given the right to become the children of God. John 1:12. By receiving it, it's nothing we can earn. We simply receive what he has offered, and we believe, and we live for him, and we have the right to become his children and have eternity with him. It's great. So these people that are wandering, there's a recurring theme that's going to be here. You're going to see it. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. They cried out to God, and he delivered them. They weren't finding satisfaction anywhere else. Nothing could satisfy. They cried out to God, and he delivered them. To be delivered. Incredible thing. If you ever, you know, experienced deliverance ministry or something like that, you've seen people that were formerly without hope, all of a sudden they have hope. Maybe they're caught up in addictions, all of a sudden they're delivered from that. It no longer exists, right? As far as the east is from the west, they are free. They have freedom in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So we continue with verse 10 here. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Okay? This can also speak to us today as well. People sitting in darkness and deepest gloom, seeing no hope in life, having no hope. And that would be terrible. It can happen. Absolutely. Sometimes you go through life circumstances where you just don't find hope and things just aren't going well. And other people have a very real struggle with this. It's real. And what happens here? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them in their distress. Turning to God, crying out to him, and he is there waiting to answer for everyone. He wants, it's not his will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? To repent, to turn away from what we're doing, to cry out to him, Lord, save me. And he's, come here, I got you. It's a beautiful thing. And he wants to do that for everyone. For everyone. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you turn to him, you repent, and that's all gone. You're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a beautiful thing. So he brought them out of their darkness and their deepest gloom, saved them from their distress, and broke away their chains. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. No matter how strong that stronghold may be, no matter hopeless it may seem like it's bars of iron, it's nothing for God, is it? Is there anything too powerful for him to overcome? No, there's not. He is all-powerful. He is eternal. He is the one that has victory. You know, the victory is the Lord's. There's no doubt about it. Okay, we got another situation here. Skipping ahead to verse 19. Should we stop to 16? But let's just skip ahead a little bit here. Or to 17, excuse me. Some became fools for their rebellious ways. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Okay, yeah, I think most of us can identify with that. You know, becoming fools in our rebellious ways. Anybody here ever rebelled against God in your youth? I'm not the only one. Okay, alrighty. Absolutely. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way, I guess. Maybe some of you did everything right growing up. Hey, wonderful if you did, okay? Some of us had to learn the hard way. But was God faithful through it all? When you're walking those hard paths and you're lost, and was he right there with you? Absolutely. Absolutely. He is faithful. He is good. But it has to be our choice to turn to him, right? If he makes us turn to him, That would not be true allegiance to God. If you're going to love me, I'm going to make you all love me, I'm going to make you all Christians. No, it has to be a choice out of our own free will. That we, God, I choose you. That's meaningful. That's love. That's something when we choose to follow God. I mean, we could choose not to. We could be out doing all kinds of other things this morning. I was out duck hunting. I could have stayed out there longer. You know. But no, I choose to come here. I choose to worship God and gather with others. And not only on Sunday mornings, right? It's a lifestyle of worship. Because it's who we are. It's who we've been changed to be. To be like God. To follow him. To be dedicated to him. To what we say and do, to represent him faithfully. To walk it out. To walk out that Christian life, yes. Yeah, it's not a static thing. It's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. We are out there walking out that Christian life. We're out there being salt and light to the world. We're out there letting him work through us, letting him love through us, show compassion to us, those around us. Absolutely. Don't pass up those chances. When God stirs in your heart and points someone out, hey, that person, you know, needs some little love or some attention or just someone to talk to, do it. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter how many piercings, tattoos, anything like that. Uh-uh. God sees the heart, right? God sees the heart. So these people that were rebellious, that suffered affliction because of their iniquities, again, had learned the hard way. And God will let that happen sometimes. Sometimes real life is the best teacher. He's still waiting there with open arms. He is. But sometimes we just have to go find out the hard way, all right? But guess how this one ends? Same as the other two. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. I see a theme here, that if we cry out to God, if we turn to him, if we repent and we genuinely say, Lord, I need you, he is faithful, he is good, his love endures forever. Okay, another situation, the fourth one, and the final one here in this psalm. Others went out on the sea in ships, they were merchants on the mighty waters. There's a tempest that lifted up the high waves. They mounted up the heavens and went down to the depths. So these waves are just huge and they go way down. I've never experienced that, okay? I've been out in Minnewaska with, you know, somewhat strong waves, but I've never experienced where I mean, you're up and then you're down. You can just imagine the waves coming over the side of the ships. And you talk about distress, okay? And we're talking back in the time of the Psalms where these boats are made out of wood. They lap them together and they try to seal the seams with pitch and things like that. But the waves are going to be coming over there, and it's going to be filling up. You bail like crazy, you know, and you're praying and everything else. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They're at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. But what do? They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Now, it doesn't have to be a literal ocean. It doesn't have to be literal waves. We can experience all kinds of tempests in life. All kinds of storms in life that seem overwhelming. They think, see, like they're going to capsize us. They're going to sink us. That there's no way out. How can this possibly work out? Is there a way out? Well, guess what? Cry out to the Lord in your distress, and he will deliver you. Yeah. So in the tough times, in the bad times, the people that are rebellious, those that seem overwhelmed, some that are in deepest gloom, some that are wandering aimlessly, cry out to the Lord. And in any situation, is it limited to just these four things? No. Cry out to the Lord. Seek him, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything's going to fall into place, right? All these things will be given unto you. And the key here is crying out to God. Asking him, is he willing to help? Yeah. Is he faithful? Yeah. Is he loving? Yeah. His love endures forever. He's there waiting for everyone. Just with arms wide open. I'm right here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Find your way to me. I'm right here. Just willing to take you in. Not temporarily take you in. We're talking a home forever. That's beyond what we can imagine here on earth. A beautiful thing. So he wants us to turn to him. How do we respond to this? How can we be thankful enough? Can we be thankful enough? If we were to list all the reasons why we should give thanks to God in this season of Thanksgiving, we're going to be here a long time. A lot of them we just take for granted every day. We never stop to think. I woke up in a warm house this morning, didn't have to feed the fire or anything like that. That was great. Okay, went out duck hunting. Well, the ducks weren't flying, but still, hey, I got to enjoy a nice morning in nature. It was great. I mean, there's so much to give thankful for. Sometimes you got to look a little bit. Actually, you don't have to look far. You don't have to look hard. Is there always something to be thankful for? Yes, there is. Okay? Be thankful for what God has done for us. And to live out that thanks. To live out that thanks. That's what we read about in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians this morning. We just had three short verses. I remember when the boys were in confirmation, they had memorized verses. I said, hey, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, be joyful always. Easy to memorize, isn't it? Pray continually. Another one. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are very short verses, but how much meaning? How much meaning? When we are truly thankful, we're going to be joyful. And it says to be joyful always, to live that lifestyle of joy. Now, there's joy and there's happiness. They're similar. Happiness can be just about a situation. I'm really happy that, you know, the grandkids are coming this week and stuff like that. That's great. But it's sort of a temporary thing with happiness. Does happiness last? No, but joy can. Joy can last, all right? To live a life of joy. It's a lifestyle. To be giving thanks to God, to be connected with Him, to be walking with Him, and to be happy about it. People who are Christians should be happy, right? Should be. But the happiness, again, is fleeting. But they should live a life of joy. Knowing that God is with us and our future is secure. So be joyful always. Pray continually. Prayer is a wonderful thing, and we could go a long ways into prayer. But it's not just something you do before you go to sleep or before meals. At times, you're going to be dropped to your knees because you don't know where else to turn. And you can have those prayers that are just the guttural moans. You can't even put it into words. But prayer is a conversation with God. And throughout the day, have a running conversation with Him. Hey, God, how's it going? You know, great. I'm glad you're there. And hey, I thank you for this. And just let Him be a part of your day. And again, a conversation should not be one-sided. We've all been in conversations with someone who just sort of dominates it all. You can't get a word in even edgewise, right? How thin is a word to turn it edgewise, try to get it in? Yeah. So not only talk to God, but take time to listen. Because He wants to tell you things. He wants to connect with you. And He wants to tell you good things. Now, at times, He's going to correct you. And it might hurt a little bit, but is it for our good? Absolutely. He's going to see something. Mike, you're doing this. Okay. All right, God. You know, even if I really want to or something, I got to, you know, switch, because His way and His will is perfect, right? Our human minds, we can twist things. We can conceive of things. We can try to justify things. Oh, this is okay because whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, again, if it doesn't line up with God's word, guess what? It's not okay. And you can try to justify it, but are you going to get anywhere with God trying to justify it? Trying to convince Him that my way is right, not your way, Lord? You're going to find out the hard way. You know, hopefully not eternally. But no, you're going to find out the hard way that His way is perfect. His way is right. And let us strive to follow in His way and in His will, right? Absolutely. To love others. To be there for them and be there with them, but not always to approve of what they do if they're going counter to God's will. Because we want them to cry out to the Lord and turn and come back to Him, right? To His good and perfect will, His good and perfect way. Third part of this, after pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Giving thanks, yes, absolutely. Give Him thanks and praise. In all circumstances? That can be tough at times. But is there always something to be thankful for? There is. There is, that we have a good and loving God. I mean, so many other things that we take for granted here in America. Those that have traveled to third world countries, I have not. I would like to. They come back and they are so appreciative for what we have here. Those that travel to countries where you don't have the freedoms that we do, the freedom to assemble, you know, the freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, all these things. You know, we have all these freedoms. the people that have experienced life without those freedoms, they come to sort of an awakening. Hey, we should be more thankful for these things. And of course, for a good and loving God. But there's always something to give thanks for, even in the darkest moments. And as you start looking at the good things, as you start giving thanks and praising God, your mind can shift. That gloom starts to dissipate. The fog starts to go away. And you can start to see a little more clearly. So in the midst of trials, worship. Worship. Praise God. Start singing songs of praise. Get into His Word. Things like that. We're fighting with weapons of the Spirit when we do that. And you can dispel that darkness. And furthermore, it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To be joyful, to pray, and to give thanks. It's God's will. And if it's His will, it's got to be right. There's no doubt about that. It says right there, for this is God's will for you. And if it's His will, it's perfect and it's good in Christ Jesus. So be joyful, pray, and give thanks. And don't forget the adverbs that can accompany those. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because that's His will for us. It's how He wants us to live. Now, giving thanks is something that Jesus also did. When He did the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000, He took the bread and the fishes and He did what? Gave thanks and distributed it. Here in the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, while they're eating, Jesus took bread, like we're going to do in a little while, gave thanks and broke it. Then after supper, He took up the cup and gave thanks once again, acknowledging God as the source of all good things. These words of institution that we have, very similar to what Jesus is saying here. Indeed, they should be similar. Hello, right? But acknowledging God as the source, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Take and eat, this is my body. His body would be broken in so many ways as He knows what's happening here the next day. This is the Lord's Supper. This is Maundy Thursday. He knows tomorrow things are going to change in a very big way. But yet He's willing to go through with it. Now, Lord, if this cup be taken from me, nope, sorry. But He chose to. He chose to take our sin on Himself to purify us in God's sight. Then He took the cup, gave thanks once again, gave thanks, and offered it to them. And He offers this to everybody, okay? Not all are going to accept it, but He offers it to everybody, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood for the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. His blood poured out. And if we just do the passive receiving of it, we can be saved. I was puzzled, however, on Tuesday morning when we went through this. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In a little bit, it's going to be, this is the blood of Jesus given for all people for the forgiveness of sins. All. And this said many. Okay. Did He die for everybody? Yeah. If they choose to accept it. And here it says, my blood is poured out for many. So it's probably, according to theologians, to the many that do accept it. Not everybody is going to. Not everybody is going to accept God's free offer of forgiveness and salvation. And all we have to do again is accept. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. But thank God that He made this way, because sinners like us can stand before the throne if we are covered in the blood of Jesus, if we accept what He has done for us. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I'm looking forward to that. I'm humbled that we can be a part of that. And it's going to be glorious in God's kingdom. And all the things that we're going to experience, we can't even imagine as humans. When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The hymn was probably a psalm. Those are the common hymns that they sung. Many of the psalms were set to music. So let us be thankful. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. No matter what situation we're in, if we're being rebellious, if things are just looking dark, if we're tossed about, all these things, He is there. He is faithful. He is constant. He does not move. What assurance there is in that. And what humility in realizing that we're not worthy, but Jesus did create a way. He created a way for us to come to the Father. And for that, we can certainly give thanks. I'm going to conclude with Colossians 2, 6 through 7. This came up in my morning reading here, and it fits so well that I have to conclude with it. So Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, again it's a receiving, continue to live in Him. Live in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And overflowing with thankfulness. Amen.